Blog Talk Radio.
Someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted. Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. And by the way, they have cookies, too. Nice soft cookies, especially the chocolate mint. Okay, well, I haven't had breakfast yet. And I don't want to think about that. Now, what I think about now is music. And we're going to have Patricia Glunt tell us all about a concert. Patricia.
Hey, Merle. How are you?
Okay. Well, first.
Very good. So we're it's happening now, right?
Yeah,
wow.
It's happening. You're on the air.
Okay, great. So what do you want to know? What can I?
Well,
so
the first
cool.
thing I
thank
want
Thank you
to,
for inviting me back. And it's great
sure.
to be here.
The first thing I want to ask you about is the Jackson Heights Beautification Group. What is that?
It's not exactly a civic association, but it was. It's a community organization that started about 28 years ago to make Jackson Heights beautiful. Again, I guess, you know, they started out planting flowers and tulips and gardening and removing graffiti. And along the way, they've expanded into, they have a dog run. And basically, if you have an idea that you want to do for the community, you can go to this group and they will help you make it a reality. And that's what I did with the Jackson Heights Orchestra. I went to them and I said, do you want to help me get this orchestra started? And they were very positive and excited about it. So that gives a little bit. They're composed of local residents, and it's a volunteer organization. And
it's not like BID, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is not. Though we do work with, you know, different organizations, you know, in the community, but not in any in that kind of capacity.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Now, I understand you have an upcoming concert.
We do.
Tell us about
it's
that.
February
yeah.
3rd, and it's a Vivaldi concert, the Four Seasons. We're going to be performing at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in downtown Jackson Heights at 4 o'clock, and we're adding a little segment for children beforehand to give them a little educational component for families with kids and teach them a little something about Vivaldi and the seasons, the Four Seasons. You know, it's a wonderful introductory piece for kids into classical music and or into, you know, just learning a little bit more about music. So we're very excited about that.
Now, I want people to understand it's not the same Four Seasons that you think of the group.
The Four Seasons, you mean like someplace you go to eat?
No, the Four
or,
no, the Four the group, the
no,
old group,
we're
the Four Seasons.
The Four Seasons, yes.
Yeah, it's not that same group.
Oh, no. Oh, there's another. Yes, it's not that same group. It's Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no misunderstanding about this. No.
Now,
absolutely.
So are you going to like show the instruments that are being used to the kids? Is that what you're going to?
Well, I think that they're going to, it hasn't all been finalized yet, but the vision is to introduce them to the concept of program music. I think
mm-hmm.
that where composers actually write something to depict another image or to tell a story, that it's not just written for music's sake alone, but there's actually a story behind the music. And I think that's one of the components. Plus, you know, we're going to have a harpsichord. I think that many children have never seen a harpsichord, and many adults haven't seen a harpsichord before. So there'll be an opportunity to get a little close up to one of those types of instruments. And so I think the educational component is more about Vivaldi, program music, and how music can paint a picture.
Now, I understand your role with this is not just that you founded the orchestra, but you're the conductor, correct?
I am. Yes, I'm the conductor and artistic director, however one wants to put it. The fearless leader, or maybe not so fearless. yeah. That's what I do. I'm the conductor, and it's a great job. It's a wonderful position to be in, and it's just a dream come true. Yes.
So when was this particular concert put together? How long did it like? Does it take you to?
Concert, we started last week, and we're gonna put it together in a few rehearsals, and we meet weekly, so I would say probably three rehearsals for this, and it's a very quick turnaround on this because we're also preparing at the same time for our March concert. So we're kind of piggybacking on that and squeezing this one in between in February, and then we have a concert March 14th with the full orchestra. So this concert with Vivaldi is just strings. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well tell us about the concert in March.
Oh, sure. Well, that's going to be a really great concert. We're changing the venue. It's going to be done in Astoria at St. Joseph's. It's on a Wednesday night at 7:30. We're doing Beethoven's Second Piano Concerto, Haydn's Symphony No. 104, the last of his London symphonies, and Sibelius's Corelia Overture. And this is in honor of our soloist, Markus Kaitila, who is a Finnish musician living in New York. And I have some Finnish, not birth roots, but educational roots. And so I'm partial to programming some Sibelius and other Finnish composers, and also featuring Finnish artists. So that's how that all came about. And we're doing
what instrument does he play?
He plays piano. He'll be playing Beethoven's Second Piano Concerto. So it's a nice program. Our programs usually are about an hour and 15 minutes with no intermission. And typically they are free with a suggested donation. The Vivaldi concert, though, is not a free concert. It is, you can buy tickets for it. They're $20 and $10 for students or kids, you know, anyone under 20, and for seniors also. Though I haven't quite defined what a senior is, but if you feel you're a senior, then go for it, you know. That's... It's always hard to say. Sometimes, you know, every place is different what a senior is, but you know, we're not checking anybody's ID on this.
So. Okay. Okay. Now, I understand. Just to get back to this concert, I understand there are a lot of soloists. You got.
We
that
do.
You want to mention?
Sure. Well, you know, each movement, each season is going to be performed by a different violinist. And we have a variety of, I would say, a wonderful selection from the orchestra and from the community. And so we're featuring Susan Metcalf on our concertmaster of the orchestra, and Allison Kang, who will also be running the children's component at 3:00. She is our principal second violinist in the orchestra. Natalie Kriegler can occasionally be found in the orchestra from one section to another. She's a freelance artist around the town. And Claire Smith Birmingham is also a local artist who's the founder of the Queen's Consort, which is a Baroque ensemble, and located in Jackson Heights. So we have those four soloists who are just wonderful, wonderful violinists trained at Juilliard and San Francisco Conservatory and Mannes School of Music and, you know, top schools throughout the country. And then, you know, along with Vivaldi's Four Seasons, there comes the sonnets they're not quite sure if they're attributed to Vivaldi or not, but he wrote these sonnets to go along with each season. So Bryce Birmingham has volunteered to be our narrator and read the poems in between each of the four seasons. And he's an actor around town who just happens to be married to Claire. Perhaps you recognize the similarity in last name. And
yeah.
He's a stunt coordinator, which is really fascinating. He has his own business of, you know, like he programs and coordinates fights and things like that for films. So that'll be, I don't think he'll be acting out the four seasons while we're playing it, but I think that's going to be great. And then Joseph Bartolozzi is our member of our orchestra, who's an ASCAP award-winning composer. He's also one of our assistant conductors, and he's my right arm on many different levels, and we've been working together for many, many years. And so he is going to be playing the harpsichord for this concert. And, of course, then we have Vivaldi himself. We'll be there in spirit, I hope. So, and me. So that, and then the orchestra is all members of the string section. So I think that covers all of our soloists. And
I would like you to explain, just for people who are not up on classical concerts, what a concertmaster is.
Oh, sure. So the concertmaster is the person, if you're looking at the orchestra from the audience, the concertmaster will be to the left of the conductor, and usually right under the conductor's nose, so to speak. And they are the leader of the string section and the first violin section. And they also play a role in helping with bowings and demonstrating. And they kind of help the conductor relay information that the conductor wants to the string section. They help make that vision a little bit clearer when it comes to playing something. So they play a very important role. Susan and I have been together since the beginning of the orchestra, and we just hit it off. She loves being a member of the orchestra, and she's also a freelancer, professional violinist, and it just really she really loves being a part of this and seeing how the orchestra has grown through the years, and we've just gone on this journey together. It's just great. And an orchestra can be made or broken by the relationship that the conductor and the concertmaster has. The concertmaster really helps set the tone for the orchestra. And so I think that sort of says a little bit. They're also the person that gets up and tunes. You know, they point to the oboe. If there's an oboe in the orchestra, traditionally the orchestra tunes to the oboe because that's the most temperamental instrument. And if you can get that one in tune, then the whole orchestra is set to go. But they're the ones that they stand up and they ask for the A for the orchestra and get the whole thing started a little bit.
Right.
So there's a lot of responsibility there.
Which leads me to the question of, if there's no oboe, what is an orchestra tuned to?
Well, in this case, we might end up tuning to the harpsichord. Since the harpsichord cannot be tuned on the spot, chances are we will tune to the harpsichord then. You know, and that's how that would run.
Okay.
Like the other.
So in other words, if there was a piano, like that type of an instrument,
Yes. Like in December, we did part of Messiah, Handel's Messiah. So, and we used the organ at the church in that. So the oboist took the A from the organ, and then. The orchestra tuned to the oboe, but the A for the orchestra was taken from the organ because we could not adjust the organ on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Have you ever tried playing an oboe?
No, I haven't, but it seems to me I remember a conversation that we've had in the past that somewhere in your history there was an oboe, perhaps?
Yeah, all during high school I played the oboe. Yeah, all during high school I played the oboe. Just for no reason. Just to play an instrument.
Just You just decided to pick one of the hardest instruments.
Well,
Let me see if I can make a really good sound in that little tiny double reed right there that's thinner than a piece of paper.
Actually, what had happened was that when I got into high school, well, I was supposed to go to the high school music and art, and I made it on the piano, and I didn't like the high school music and art, so I transferred to the high school in my neighborhood, and they were teaching woodwind, and I said, okay, that'll do, and then the teacher said that they were getting brand new instruments, and he talked about the oboe being very expensive. I said, oh, good, I'll get that one. I didn't even know what it was. And I said, I'll get that one. What the heck?
You'll get that one.
and I did. And I didn't regret it. I think he regretted it, though.
But did you have a good relationship with your oboe, or was it a love-hate thing?
Oh, I had a good relationship with the oboe, and I had a good relationship with the teacher, because I had spent the entire, you know, all the years in the high school. For the 3 years that I was there, I was playing the oboe, first starting learning it, then going to junior band, and then finally senior band, and he kept on urging me to take lessons at home.
Well, obviously he thought you had potential there. You know,
well,
they only do that. It's not a case of need, it's a question of potential. And yeah. Well, I guess with your piano experience, it was you already read music. You just had to stick the reed up in your mouth and hope for the best at that point.
Yes. That's what I used to say. I would play and the ducks would fly into the room.
That's pretty funny.
I think what was even funnier was I wouldn't forget this. There was a time I came in and I started to play and the reed cracked. And I went, I don't feel like sitting here doing nothing. So he starts conducting to do this, whatever was the song we were doing. And, you know, when I got to my parts to play, I played my hands. Have you ever played your hands?
I've played my hand many a times. I used to do that a lot on the subway or buses, and then nobody would sit near me. It was great, you know. A little alone time amongst many.
So I started playing my hands, and I, you know, we're going on. I get to where I'm just, and I hit all the notes correctly, whatever. So I didn't think there was a problem until he looked at me, and then, you know, just cut off the whole thing and just had everybody stop and ask me what I was doing. And I said, my reed broke. But I think he was used to my comedy already, or I think the whole school was. So he just said, just, you know, don't play this class today. I said, oh, okay, all right, I won't.
Oh, how sad.
Oh, but anyhow, let's to get back to this. Now, so this group has been around for how long, you said, by the way?
We started in 2012. I still think of us as a new group. So we just started our sixth season, and it's very exciting for that
and
to happen.
So you get to do the four seasons in the sixth season, huh?
Yes, the fourth season. Oh, yeah, I blew it, huh? I should have done it 2 years ago. What was I thinking? There's no do-over. there's no mulligan on this one.
So, and by the way, just so people know, what is your background that got you into doing this?
Well, how long do we have? I'll give you the short version of it. I trained as a professional violinist and composer, and I worked in Finland I studied at the Sibelius Academy in Finland as a student, a graduate student, and then I worked over there for many years in an orchestra. Then I moved to New York and went into education, continuing freelance, but I always wanted to conduct. And so even though I had my student groups, I had my eyes on other groups to lead and make music with. So I had a wonderful career in music education in the city. And then when I retired, I said, I guess it's time now to start this orchestra. If I'm going to do it, you know, nobody's asking me to conduct any place. So if this is what I want to do with my time, I should just like make it happen. And now here we are 6 years later with an orchestra that's fully entrenched in the community and supported. And it's just a wonderful thing. And it's amazing how many people say how it's made a difference in their lives at some point. You know, either they didn't want to come to the concert, they were feeling down, and then they come to a concert and they forget about all their troubles, or what it takes them to another place. And it's a real social event along with a musical event. And we, you know, we have a reception afterwards that everybody's invited to. So I like to, and you get to talk to your neighbors, and you get to meet the members of the orchestra, and you get the chance to talk to me and the board members of the beautification group. It's just a really nice thing. And that's sort of the vision that I feel what an orchestra should be in a community. But that really went a little bit further than what you asked about my background, but I think it all led to that. You know, working in the music education business and in the field in New York City, and having so many wonderful opportunities to work with people, and then creating something for people to continue playing in who may not necessarily be professionals, even though I have a couple of people in the orchestra who are professionals. But for the most part, it's just a continuation of what I did for the past 30 years, in a sense. Just I made it local and grassroots, you know.
By the way, can you use another instrument?
And what would you like? What are you thinking about?
I actually had gotten, when I was in Minnesota, I went to this place that makes stringed instruments.
Okay.
And I said, this is great, and I'll write about it. Now it's just like, sitting in my house. Now it's a, I would have to look it up, this thing. It has a bow, and I guess you could put it in your lap, I guess.
Okay. Maybe you should try sending me a picture.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of this. The thing is I was trying to donate it to somebody else, and she said to me, no, I have too much stuff in my house already. And I said, oh, okay. Because the person has, you probably know Yu Chang Ma?
Sure.
Yeah, so yeah. I thought, yeah, with her having an orchestra, I thought, well, that would be great. I could do. She said, no, she got too much stuff. And I went, all right, I got to.
We don't really have a storage for the orchestra. It's
okay.
I think if I personally brought anything else home, I would probably end up on the street. So I think But you should send me a picture of it because I'd really like to see what you're talking about.
Okay. It's not the most common thing in the world. It sounds lovely. And I went, that's nice. And I, well, okay, I just tried it out. Now I'm bored. What's next?
Oh, wow. Wow. So
I have this thing. I have this thing about with instruments. I want to hear both the medley, you know, and the harmony to it.
Oh, is it like at the same time? So you like the keyboard? Then.
Yeah. So that's
yeah.
You know, the oboe didn't do me any good unless I was playing it with a group.
Right. Well, that's sort of the nature of the beast. Yeah. That happens.
Okay, I'll send you a photo of it.
You know, it's one way to make friends, that's for sure. You know?
Yeah, this is true. Then I have this other little weird instrument in the house. It's a small instrument that's a combination of a clarinet and a saxophone. This company put this thing out. You're playing it like a clarinet, and it sounds like a saxophone.
Oh, wow.
I'll send a photo of that one, too.
Send a photo of that, too. Yeah, very interesting. So,
yeah, I'm a Gemini. What can I tell you?
Well, yeah, so you have the Gemini is the twins, right, or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that kind of like a yin and yang type of relationship that you have with yourself? Or
I could do, like, there are times when I had three careers going at the same time.
So you had to make sure which hat to wear at any given moment. Did you have to carry all your hats with you at the same time, or could you leave a couple of hats at home when you went out?
No, I had to leave, you know, one hat each, you know, only one hat at a time, because one was in show business, one was writing, and one was working at concrete and asphalt plants.
Okay. Well, I bet that gave you some good material for your show business part. You know, think of all the bodies that you could, find, perhaps.
But hopefully I'll be able to come to see your show.
That would be lovely.
Small concerts are better for me. I have this thing about, you know, when I'm in a room like go to Colden Center and a classical concert, can't go. Because I sit there, the lights are low, and the music is soft, and I fall asleep.
I fall asleep, too. Not when I'm conducting, though. you pay $150 for a theater ticket, and off you go. The lights go down, and you keep getting nudged, like, oh, I'm awake.
Show me awake. What are you talking about? I'm not sleeping.
I know what's going on. Oh, what happened? Oh, somebody got murdered. Oh, dear. Oh, it's over? Are you kidding me? What happened to the last act?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, my concerts, the Vivaldi will be short, and there's, you know, our capacity at St. Mark's is about 200 people, and so it's not, and you're sitting in pews, so you're not, like, relaxing in those cushy chairs at Colden Center, you know, with cushions, and they lean back just a tad, and you have their armrest.
Yeah.
So it's... It's. I'm sure that for some, one could find a way to fall asleep, but it's a little harder to achieve that goal or, overall, unless you can sleep anywhere. If you're that type of person, then all bets are off. I no guarantees. But, yeah, the concerts are usually about from start to finish, hour and 15 minutes. And if there's very little talking, then usually an hour and 5 minutes. It's the talking that usually delays us. I usually plan like 45 to an hour's worth of music and, the changeover in between and the lag time and all of that usually amounts to about 15 minutes. I think that's a good amount of time for especially a weeknight. And then the reception afterwards, people are out pretty quickly, They're home by 10 o'clock, which is not so bad on a weeknight for a concert.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean, that's after
a
glass of wine or two, that's after the reception. That's not even, that's for the fun part, at that point. So no,
what are they going to have there, wine and cheese?
That's usually what we have. We have a couple of platters and some wine and Prosecco, and we do a red and a white, and it's all included. It's a pretty good deal, and soft drinks, of course.
It's definitely a BYOC. Bring your own cushion.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And yes. Or just stick your coat underneath you a little bit. But
okay.
Yeah. So that's about the long and short of it. So tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for everybody else. They can be bought online at jhbg.org, and I'll repeat that again at jhbg.org. They're going to go on sale in the community at a couple of our local stores soon, on Friday, I believe. And so if anybody's in the neighborhood, they can pick them up at Table Wine or Espresso 77 and pay for them there. And they can, of course, get them at the door. So that's about it.
Okay.
So what else?
Great. that's it. I think I'm going to.
You want to solve the problems of the world, or should we save that for another show?
I have to save that for another show.
That sounds good. I can only do my part and bring a little bit of beauty into the world. And give you a couple of hours to escape whatever's going on around you for a while. And
that's how I see it.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'm glad to have had you as a guest.
Well, it's been very nice to have been invited back. I always enjoy our conversations.
I'll have to go back. Now I have to go back into it to get all the information so I can write the article.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. If if you have any questions, where to find me, I guess.
Oh, yeah. thank goodness we're Facebook friends.
I know. What a great deal for I think the younger people don't realize how lucky they have it. I think of all the people that number one I've met on Facebook, and also the ones that I lost contact with, and then found again, and some you want to keep and some you're like, well, it's nice, it's okay. It's everything's okay. But just to touch base every once in a while is nice. you know, it's nice to have that through social media. And it's a wonderful opportunity to continue networking, especially for younger people.
Yeah.
You know. And
okay.
You know,
well,
of course.
I got gonna end the show.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll see you then if it's not snowing out.
No, it's not gonna snow in 2 weeks. you know. Hey. Well, we do our best, you know. That's all you can
yeah.
do. And the important part is to stay safe and don't break anything, and that's what you know. Snow isn't very good for any of those things, so we try to
yep.
avoid it anyway. So
okay,
good talking to you.
All right, thanks again, Patricia, and stay warm.
Thank you. You too. Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Merle.
Yes, okay. So I am going to end the show with...
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word